Future Stars on SEN with John Donohoe and James Pitcher.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone. Great to be with you as always. We're into week three of this now. John Donohoe's my name. James Pitcher is here as well. And this is Future Stars. Thanks to Bravo Management, the player management agency looking after the current and future stars of the AFL and AFLW, such as Darcy Moore and Monique Conti. Busy man is James Pitcher. I tell you what, he's taking the world over, and you better watch out if you're a young AFL superstar because he is the best in the biz. Hello, Pitch.
Hello, JD. Thanks for having me again for another week.
No, I'm more than happy to. You covered a lot of kilometres on the weekend. You were in Ballarat. You were at games on the in the southeast. And how many games did you get to?
Well, we just had a bit of a laugh off air that I think since the last time I've seen you, I have watched 13 games of junior footy in the last. So I could imagine hanging out there at Ballarat yesterday thinking, I think I've seen this. I was like deja vu.
You should know they're going back to front now. By the 13th game, you'd just about be over it.
Yeah, well, it was last week. There was obviously a big focus on the under-16 trials that were coming through for Metro Country. And then it was a big week of footy, which we'll talk about today. But finishing with Ballarat yesterday with a triple header for all the country teams.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a whole heap to get through, so we won't waste too much time. But what I will say to everyone is that this is the last week of games for a little break. Before a little break, there's the state games coming up next. So what's on the agenda coming up the next week or two?
Yeah, we'll have a little hiatus from the Coates Talent League. As of next weekend, there will be an academy game v Coburg. So the best in the country v Coburg on the Saturday. And then there will be the two Vic Country v Vic Metro trials, which will then feed into another weekend of the Future Stars and Young Guns, I should say, and Vic Metro. Yep. And then we start getting back into the Talent League from there.
Excellent. All right, well, we will cover all of that, and we might even bring you a couple of interviews from around the traps as well over the next couple of weeks. But we got a big show to get through, so we'll get through the review as quick as we can, and then we'll get deep into your observations across the weekend. But it all started at RSEA Park Saturday morning, and it was the Sandy Dragons. I feel like we talk a lot about them. There's a reason for that. They are the best team in the competition. A 19-point victory over the Eastern Rangers, 12-14-86. Eastern Rangers hung in there, 10-7-67. It was all square at quarter time pitch, and then Dragons were able to burst away, but they held in there, the Eastern Rangers.
Yeah, talking about starting the weekend with a bang. Every man and his dog was there, and there was some great talent getting around the ground. I think you nailed it there, JD. It was a really competitive first quarter, and then Dragons sort of flexed their muscle.
Yep.
There was a small incident late in the game where Dragons went across goal and turned into a Rangers goal that almost gave them a sniff.
Yep.
But at the end, Dragons were just too strong.
You never kick across goal. You learn this from a young age. I've made the mistake a number of times.
Well,
never kick across goal.
Interesting standing on the boundary line.
Unless they're wide open.
We thought this is one long down the line, and he's looked inboard. And he's missed the target, and Josh Smilly swooped on it, bang, kicked a goal. And I thought, here we go, there's a chance. But
probably why he's the potential number one draft pick.
100%. But as you said, don't go across goal, especially with a couple of minutes to go.
No, you learn that in under 12s, I reckon. 12-9-81, Calder Cannons. They defeated the Northern Knights at 7-9-51. It was a 30-point win for the Calder Cannons. Got off to a really good start, 3 goals in the first quarter. They were reeled in a little bit in the second, Northern Knights kicking 2-1. And then they were able to hold their nerve quarter with, what did they kick, 5 goals in the last quarter to 1.
Yeah, a game that was out at Craigieburn, which I think from all reports, highly competitive. It was pretty even.
Yep.
I think maybe the scoreline might have flattered Calder in the end because having seen Northern Knights the last 2 weeks, that was a surprising result to lose by a couple of goals.
Absolutely. Another game. It was tight. This was really tight. The Oakley Chargers up against the Tassie Devils. 15-7-97, the Chargers to 13-10-88. A 9-point victory for the Oakley Chargers. They get their account started in 2024. This one ebbed and flowed. So it was a tight 6-point margin at quarter time. The Chargers were able to hold a 19-point lead or so at halftime, and then Tassie were able to reel them in with a 5-goal burst in the third quarter.
Not sure what to take from this, JD.
Yeah.
Oakley got Tommy Gross back this week. They had a pretty good lineup going into the game. I think we might have spoken about the other week with Tassie that they probably haven't got the headline acts like they had last year with McKercher and Leake and Shoemakers and a few others, but they've obviously put in a really competitive performance here, and they'll upset a few teams, especially when this private school footy kicks in.
Absolutely. On Sunday, it was at Mars Stadium. So you were down at this. It was a triple header for the Country Games, and the Bendigo Pioneers got the job done in their match against the Gympie Power, 12-9-81 to 8-9-57. This was a good contest, a 24-point win for the Bendigo Pioneers. Two goals to James Barrett and Mitchell Bell for the home side. What did you think of this one?
Really competitive game. Bendigo Pioneers have opened the season 3-0, which is unbelievable. They were actually really good to watch. James Barrett, Kyan Constable, really busy, especially in the first half, getting plenty of shots at goal. James Barrett, I think, finished with 2 goals, 4. And there were a couple of that were just missed. Asher Eastham, another good game. Yeah, I just love his hands. He just doesn't drop them. It's unbelievable.
Nice. So, I like guys that don't drop them.
And then converts in front of goal, which is what you want as a key forward. So really entertaining game to watch. And we'll go, obviously, a bit detail on the second seg.
Absolutely. Geelong Falcons with a big win over the Murray Bushrangers, 16-11, 107 to 8-8, 56. Six snags, if you don't mind, to Will McLaughlin in this one. So he was just about the best player on the ground.
Interesting. They opened their account. Geelong kicked 3 goals, I think, before Murray even got it forward. Mm. They kicked one, and we thought, here we go. And then they finished the quarter off kicking another 4. So it was almost curtains at quarter time. McLaughlin was very good. He probably put a bit of salt in the wounds when kicking the last 2 goals of the game, just to cop that as you head back up to the Murray.
Absolutely. And the final game at Mars Stadium in Ballarat was the Dandenong Stingrays and the Rebels, Greater Western Victoria Rebels. A 35-point victory to the Stingrays, 17-15, 117 to 13-4-82. So accurate for the Rebels. And in terms of the goal kickers, Jacob Grant managed 3. Cooper Hines, best on ground for the Dandenong Stingrays.
This is one that I wouldn't mind paying a bit more attention to in the second seg too, JD, because this was the game of the day. So, we're 2 games in. We're hoping for a highlight off after the back of the Falcons-Bushies game, and this one did not disappoint. Really good transition style of play for both teams. Entertaining to watch. And Stingrays got on top in the second half and probably kicked away in that sort of last quarter.
Beautiful. Well, that is round 3 as it happened. You were down at most of those games. Just a quick look at the ladder. The 3 teams undefeated on top of the Coates Talent League ladder are the Geelong Falcons, the Sandy Dragons, and the Bendigo Pioneers. And by virtue of percentage, it is the Falcons ahead of the Dragons, who have looked the best team in it. Eastern Rangers in 4th, along with the Calder Cannons. And then 6th is the, a number of teams on 1 win. The Dandenong Stingrays, the Gippsland Power, the Murray Bush Rangers, the Northern Knights and the Oakley Chargers, and the Tassie Devils yet to register a win, along with the Western Jets and the Greater Western Victoria Rebels.
Yeah, and we'll see, once we come back for the Coates League in the next couple of weeks, we'll see the Swans Academy, the Brisbane Lions Academy come down. So really keen to see those Northern State boys, and we can sort of start talking about them in a bit more length as well.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to get to our first break. This is Future Stars. We're going to go in-depth on a couple of games. We're going to find out who the gem of the week is and the player of the week right across a big weekend of action in the Coates Talent League. Don't forget, it's Future Stars for Bravo Management, the player management agency looking after the current and future stars of the AFL and AFLW, such as Darcy Moore and Monique Conti.
Future Stars on SEN with John Donohoe and James Pitcher.
It is Future Stars here on SEN. John Donohoe, James Pitcher with you, and you have covered a whole heap of games over the weekend, and we're not even going to waste any more time, Pitch. We have to start off. We're going to cover in depth two of the 4 games that, you were at more than 4 games, but 2 out of 4 or so we'll get to right now. But we have to start with Sandringham Dragons. They are the best team in the league. Reigning premiers have had a really good start to the season. Some names we've mentioned a couple of times already this year in their win on the weekend. Levi Ashcroft, 31 disposals and a goal. Taj Houghton, who was your player of the week last week, had 26 and a goal as well. And Luke Kennedy, 15 touches plus a goal. And for Eastern, Cody Anderson had 28 touches and kicked 2. He's been very good. And Josh Smilly with 28 touches and a goal as well. How'd you see this one?
Mate, it was a great battle, to be honest. As we spoke about it earlier, that they did get away late in the game, Sandy. However, the skill wise, the ability of both teams was quite evident. And there's a reason why these guys are probably head and shoulder above the rest of the competition at this stage of the season. They actually play really well as teams as well. Like sometimes it can be seen that it can be a bit of a selfish league.
Yep.
But I feel like across every line, both of these teams are really, really strong. And it was just a terrific game to watch. As you sort of touched on, Levi Ashcroft, really classy. Found plenty of the footy, linked up well with his teammates. Taj Houghton again kicked a goal and had 26 touches, really found his way up the ground. There were two guys who I hadn't really seen a lot, or we haven't spoken about a lot in the past. Mm-hmm. One being Luke Kennedy, who looked to sort of roam off a halfback flank and then push forward. He was really good with ball in hand. He had 15 touches and a goal. And then there was an overager. He was a more of a taller sort of player, 75, Cooper Lord.
Yep.
19-year-old, played a few games last year, but it was his first game for the season this year. He finished with 27 touches and a behind as well. So they were two guys that I saw. And then down back, Sammy Linder, he's had a terrific start to the season. Each of these three games have been really strong, really good defensively, and also great with ball in hand. Opens up the corridor, great vision, rarely misses. So that was for the Sandy boys. And then for Easton, I know we nicknamed him last week, or we talked about his nickname last week, the Beast from the East. Yes. Cody Anderson was dominant. He was in and under and into everyone's
face. The Beast from the East. Oh, mate, a great nickname.
Into everyone's face. He was he kicked a massive goal in the last quarter. It almost bring him back into it, and he gave the double python to the crowd. He was unbelievable. He had 28 touches and two goals. Josh Smilly, so we're running with Smilly.
Yep,
nice. Confident on that. 28 touches and a goal as well. And then Christian Moraes, who's hits the scoreboard every week. He's a wingman that gets up and back, and back. But when he gets forward, he's dangerous. He's had 21 and kicked three. So I think the recruiters would have walked away from that game very impressed.
Yeah, very nice. So I want to hear more about the Beast from the East. For those who aren't aware, and I know we spoke a little bit about him last week, and for those who aren't aware of his attributes, talk us through him, because you mentioned him a couple of times already in the first three episodes. I think he's one that we're going to keep a close eye on across the year.
Oh, he's got a bit of a cult following as well. I reckon he gets a few mates that come down to every game and that follow him. But he's unbelievable. He's a inside mid. He's 180-odd centimetres. Got a really strong build on him.
Yep.
Loves the competitive stuff. He actually played as a 16-year-old. He played 7 games for the Rangers, which is a massive effort at that age. I think that speaks a lot about his body. Mm. 13 games last year, and he's been dominant this year with 28 and 22 touches the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
So, I mean, the biggest thing will be for him in terms of the way he covers the ground. Clearly, one-on-one, he's hard to beat, but it's like seeing what he can do at the next level as well. That'll be something he'll be focusing on.
Yeah, and it looks like Eastern Rangers are that team that can potentially match it with the Sandy Dragons. I mean, albeit it was a 19-point victory for the Dragons on the day, but I mean, that's the closest we've seen in the first two rounds to getting the Dragons.
I'd love to, when the Coates Talent League comes back in a few weeks, I think we should do the exercise just to sort of see how many different players that will be playing for Sandringham compared to Eastern. Don't quote me, I reckon there was 16 to 17 APS boys for Sandy on weekend. So, and I'm not sure, there would only be maybe a couple for Eastern. So they'll get pretty much away untouched for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, they're going to be a team we talk a lot about, the Sandy Dragons, and probably the Eastern Rangers as well. A game you wanted to devote a little bit of time to as well. You were at a multiple across the weekend, but the one you really wanted to talk about was the Stingrays and the Rebels. 17-15, 1-17, as we mentioned, to 13-4, 82. You reckon this was the pick of the games on the Sunday for many reasons.
Yeah, and it's always your wish for this. When it's a third game of a triple header, you're hoping for an entertaining affair, especially when you've got to make the trek home from Ballarat. But this game didn't disappoint. Really competitive from the outset. The Stingrays seem to play a bit of a run and gun sort of game where they can get caught out, but they can get you equally on the counter attack as well. Right from the outset, Cooper Hines was into everything.
Yeah,
very clean with ball in hand. Set up the first couple of goals, I would have said, for the game, and then move forward later in the game. Another Rebels player playing off the wing was Jack Au. He finished with 22 goals and
great
touches
pronunciation.
And a goal. Great pronunciation. He got a bit of I don't want to mozzie him. Got a bit of the Scott Pendlebury about Ooh. Him. Yeah, got the long
Silky.
Levers.
Yeah,
and
like it.
He steps through traffic really, really well, quite balanced and composed.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Charlson, he's a bull at a gate. He was into everything for the Rebels midfield with 26 touches, as was a young guy, Harry Lawson, who looks tough as nails. 18 touches and a goal. He had a cult following there as well. I think a few boys might have come off the back of a Bucks trip and been cheering for him on the sidelines, but he was great. Further Stingrays, Harvey Langford, he is a tremendous ball user as well. He doesn't disappoint when he's got the ball in hand. He finishes 20 touches and a goal. Played predominantly forward in the first half and then went into the midfield more in the second half. And the other one, which will be close to your
yes,
heart, JD.
I just underline this.
Yeah, Justin Peckett's boy, Ooh, Elwood Peckett.
Yeah.
So he's really...
Father-son prospect.
Yeah, father-son prospect. So he's one that's really got going this year. He had 25 touches yesterday, playing sort of forward mid. But he's a father-son to watch.
Now, I'm going to ask you this because I'm invested, you're invested, and Saints fans everywhere are invested. What type of player is Elwood Peckett? Because the Saints have had no luck with father-sons over the last few years. They haven't had many for a while. I think Bailey, I want to say there was one, Dean Rice's son. Bailey Rice was probably the last one to come in and obviously didn't have the career Saints fans were hoping for. But I know Peter Everett's young boy is in the mix as well over the next couple of years. Stephen Milne's got a couple as well. So the Saints are going to get a few out of the father-son pool. But tell us about Elwood Peckett.
Probably seen more at this stage as a high half forward.
Yep.
So he did play a bit of midfield yesterday, which was good. But the week before on Good Friday against Gippy, he did something where in a couple of strides, he'd swooped, picked up the ball, turned on a 50-cent piece and banged it home for about 50. So he's got those athletic traits. Probably needs to work on his tank by the looks of things, but he's got some power. And that's what, as you know, in the modern game, that's what you need. You need that power to sort of break out of the stoppage. But I think if he was to be drafted tomorrow, he'd be starting as a high half forward.
Yeah, one to watch there for Saints fans. They need a little bit of father-son love over the next couple of years. Now, we're running out of time. We've got about 2 minutes or so here. Talk to us about, and go in depth here, because we do have the time for it, but Cooper Hines is your player of the week this week. We've mentioned him a couple of times.
Yeah, we spoke about him last week after the Gippsland game. He was probably a bit quieter in the first half and got going in the second half,
mm-hmm.
but probably had one of those almost games. Like he almost kicked a couple of goals and he almost hit these targets. Well, he just put it all together yesterday. So he was winning it inside. He was winning it outside. He was going forward and kicking goals. He had an unbelievable game and one that I think that was really announced him to the competition. He's put a lot of work into his body in the off season. So he's come back fit. He looks great.
Mm.
He's covering the ground real well, and that'll be a work in progress as well. But he's one that I think had a few recruiters going, wow.
And the way you described him last week, and as I said to you, it came to my mind, the first thing I heard was Marcus Bontempelli. And I feel like that comparison is apt at this point.
Absolutely. I think he has got the power to get out of a stoppage, but sometimes his first move is either to go left or right. And by that time, he's got this amazing ability. People just seem to fall over around him and he's like stepping over bodies and then all of a sudden he laces one out. So,
love it.
You know, he'd be a beautiful player to present to up forward. If you were a forward running up the ground to him, you just go, well, I'm going to get this absolutely lace out.
Love that. Love that. Cooper Hines is our player of the week this week. What about our gem of the week? A name I haven't heard. This is the first time you're mentioning it, but talk us through this player.
Again, this is a player who's had a really strong start to the season over the last 3 weeks for the Geelong Falcons. He's a halfback flanker. We're trying to think of a player to compare him to before JD and maybe a bit of the Christian Salem type where you do want to have the ball in his hand coming out of the back half is Lockie Jarks from Geelong Falcons. That does defend really, really well, but you can sort of see it's a bit of a team ambition to get the ball into Lockie's hands because he won't miss a target moving forward. So he looks to have really good vision and is one that really follow in the back half of the year or for the remainder of the year, I should say.
I like it. We're going to keep an eye on him throughout. All right, a final word on any of these matches. We do have a little bit of time up our sleeves here, but you were busy, man, over the weekend. What did you make of most of it?
Yeah, well, I think if we start with the first game yesterday and the triple header, we mentioned it off the top. James Barrett, really busy in front of goal, as was another player, Kyan Constable, who I hadn't seen a lot of, but he really, I didn't mind what I saw there, to be honest. There's a, you're not going to believe it. There's a third brother of the Duursma clan.
Gee whiz.
And he could be the best one.
Oh, here we go.
So Willem's coming through as a 17-year-old. He already looks like an AFL player the way he moves.
Wow.
And he's got a build. So there's argument to say that he might be the best. So Willem Duursma playing off half-back flank yesterday, played midfield forward the week before. And then if we move down to the Falcons and Bushy's game, as I said, it was a bit of a non-event because Falcons just jumped him early. Two twin brothers, Matt and Jack Whitlock.
Yep.
Matt played back, one to follow, and Jack played forward. Matt was great. Jack didn't get a lot of looks of it early in the game, but ended up with 3 goals, 2.
Wow. Nicely done. You have given us a comprehensive look at round 3 of the Coates Talent League. We're going to get out of here. Pitch, nicely done. Go home and get some rest because I feel like you haven't seen your family in about a week. And we will be back next week, potentially with a special guest as well. James Pitcher there. This has been Future Stars. Thanks to Bravo Management, the player management agency looking after the current and future stars of the AFL and AFLW, such as Darcy Moore and Monique Conti. We'll be back next week. See you then.